I want to stick my nose in as a producer because I've listened to this question on the Defense Force on more than one occasion. I hope the members of the Barbados Defense Force, I'm not getting to the Official Secrets Act or sticking my neck. There was an entire piece done on their 40th anniversary in the weekend newspaper. The Defense Force has the capability of managing this country from the Defense Force should something happen to the country. There is an engineering division. There are medically trained people there. There's a field hospital. They've used it in countries post-hurricane. They don't go to Dominica or Antigua or the places they go to shoot people. They actually set up field hospitals and report. The Defense Force can manage everything from garbage collection to transportation to hospital care in an emergency. They're trained to do that. And there are people there who are trained to manage every aspect, including engineering and various other aspects of... I hope I'm not offending the Official Secrets Act by saying what they can do.
For the month of September, VOB Ghost Country.
From 30,000 feet above the desert floor, I see it there below.
Yes, all month long, the country ballads and dance tunes we've enjoyed throughout the years.
Take one fresh and tender kiss.
The very best country hits that tell the stories of life and love throughout the month of September on VOB.
When the sun goes down on my side of town, that lonesome feeling comes to my door. The whole world turns.
Welcome back, and thank you for that, Dennis. If I could also add to, they also assist the Barbados Water Authority. They did last year with the storm, and they've got several different functions, and it's something that I think that if we can share in the future, as you said, not giving them all the secrets, but maybe educate the public as to the function of the BDF and all of the work that they do that we so appreciate. This is Dung to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm calling about the plastics.
Yes, sir.
We've heard many times about the dates that they're cutting off for plastics being imported into Barbados. But to date, I have not yet heard whether or not there's any ban on plastic rice, plastic cabbage, or anything of the like. Can you share any light on that?
I certainly, I don't know what plastic rice is or cabbage. I have certainly seen some videos. I've seen videos, but to say that I have any further information as to what it is, where it came from, we would have to figure that one out.
Based on what I saw, it's manufactured in the Asian countries.
So we're importing cabbage.
Well, either that and or rice. But whether we have started
rice, but the cabbage...
I'm only saying whether we have started or not, we should have a ban. If there is such a thing as plastic rice as we have seen, I think that there should be a ban on it before it starts. Don't wait till it comes in and then we play a catch-up.
I think that the video with the cabbage probably needs investigating. I have no idea. It's not that you believe everything you see, but it was pretty convincing when I saw it there burning, and it wasn't cabbage, let's put it that way. Don't know what it was. So maybe persons who in the relevant departments can probably investigate that, and maybe they are. But if that's your contribution for today, thank you so much for calling. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good afternoon, Ms. Hick.
Good afternoon.
Starting with the gentleman who left off about plastic, there's all the talk about plastic. And Mr. Paul Bennett was on the air sometime recently making the point that all plastics were not banned in the sense of having plastic to recycle. And he made that point when he was on the air. But I've heard about this plastic rice and plastic, whatever it is. It is what? It would be unfortunate to have such. I know the original rice grown in Ghana, etc. And my second point would be, I want to fortify Mr. Bino from Carlton Air One as regarding the importation of pork gave a little scope for Port Shoulders and Port Lays. But I wonder even if that should be had. It is going to impact on all pig farmers, etc. And 2-3 weeks ago, I made that point when James Paul first came out and made the point about the importation of pork. That's hot on the heels of it being said. I mean, it's better late than never. I'm here now to 45 with Mr. Paul Bino as regarding the importation of pork, what it will do to the pork industry of Barbados. And I think it's a clarion call from both gentlemen, Mr. James Paul and Mr. Bino, and I'm all 45 the two gentlemen as regarding the importation of pork, what will happen to our local pig farmers and our pork, et cetera. It is interesting to see the juncture we're at, and I would want to support any regulation or ban or whatever to safeguard our pig farmers on the island.
Mm-hmm. Is the importation based on the availability at the time?
Sorry?
Would the imports be based on the availability at the time? Hence the reason for the imports. I was just asking if you knew that.
I can't speak to the availability, mm-hmm. but I didn't hear that there was a scarcity of. So because of that, I would want to know if there is a scarcity of. If there isn't a scarcity of, then why would you have the imported pork? That I don't know.
No, but if it's scarce, they may have to.
Sorry?
If it is scarce.
If it's scarce, it's debatable mm-hmm. what should happen from there, but they will decide on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing clear of that.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Mohammed Nasser. How are you today?
Wow. I was wondering that if only Dennis Johnson was the only person you call. I always love to hear your contributions between you and Dennis.
No. He's not the only person I call, but the truth is that the thing is that I would debate with him or not debate with other people. Maybe I'd have to see if I can debate with
him. Well, he's in the chair producing today, so if need be, he's going to have to jump in. But I hope you're well.
I'm very good, and I'm very pleased with the way that you're handling the program.
Thank you, sir.
And I discovered you get a tremendous a lot of praise for the way you deal with the program.
Not from one or two gentlemen today, though.
But you don't expect. Always remember this, and I know you know this.
Yes.
Never expect 100% of praise from anything. As a matter of fact, sometimes too much praise is bad for you.
No, actually, it is. It is. It's actually your critics that you learn from, and you get stronger,
right.
And you improve.
Right.
So you welcome that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, what you call about, though, there's a election for the BCA this evening, the president.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two outstanding gentlemen that plan to be president. One is Condé Reilly, and the next one is Joe Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to say, though, all two of these men, as far as I'm concerned, are very decent men and things, but this is what I want to say. There's a point where I read that Mr. Garner said that he knows about cricket. But the truth is, this is not about cricket. This is about management.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that Mr. Garner would know about management like Condé Reilly. Condé Reilly is a professional manager, and I don't much follow in his life. He had a mother that was a professional teacher, too. But for his life, I've never been in any position to hear that he ever failed at things that he did. Maybe he failed at some, I don't know. But I want Barbados this evening, when they're going to vote, to understand you're voting for someone to manage, a president to manage the finances and others of the Cricket Association. A cricketer, if knowing about cricket is the... And I have to say this because I like both of these men, but we're talking about management. If you're talking about, you know, about cricket, then we should bring Sir Gary Sobers and Viv Richards and all these superstars that we have that really know about cricket
mm-hmm.
and make them management. So I hope this evening that all of us, including me, I'm a life member since I was 18 years old, all of us who are going to vote this evening would understand that we are not voting for someone who knows about cricket. And I know Condé really knows about cricket, too. We want to vote for someone who knows how to manage finances and get things going in a way that can be beneficial for all the cricketers that come in long after that. And if you look at the contribution from Rayleigh versus the one from Garner, I would have to vote on, unfortunately, if I had not had to vote compulsory I will hide and vote for Riley. Since I'm going to vote freely, I'm going to vote for Riley. But they don't want to buy the vote for Riley because they say that. I want them to vote for Riley because I want them to analyze that we are talking about managing the Barbados Cricket Association and putting on the footing for years and years to come. So that is the reason why. But if I had to find a fault, and I don't want these two men, there's no way I could find a fault in either one of them. But it's not about these two men. It's about managing.
Managing.
That is what.
Yeah.
It's like you when you were doing that, the Waterworks. With all due respect to the Waterworks, since you left the Waterworks, we have never had anybody yet doing that job the way you used to do it. So it was about PR. It was about feeling. It was about understanding when you were there. I'm not saying the people who there know don't have understanding, but they do not have the PR professionalism that you carried with you when you were there. And that is a fact. So this evening, it is not about Condé Riley and Georgiana. It's about a manager to manage the economic affairs of the Barbados Cricket Association. And I believe that of the two, Condé Riley is the best. And this is what I want to say about that.
If I could add, Brother Nasser, to it's like even with schools, you would have a very good school teacher and automatically they think you make a good headmaster or headmistress. But that's not the case because you still have to manage the school. So being the good teacher in the classroom and being able to teach history well does not mean that you can actually manage the school well. So I understand what you're saying in that regard. You want to move on to something else or you're finished? Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, John, I've been enjoying your program. I'm calling from Toronto.
Hi.
Great program. Dennis Johnson did excellent. The other night I'm listening to him and Ken on the lot. I used to live in Barbados and we'll be back there shortly. But my son recently was shot in Toronto after the Raptors game. And that morning I'm there at the hospital. The doctors came out. They says, you know what? We're not sure if he's going to make it. We're not going to sugarcoat this. And the thought came to me because I called my pastor, like, what else do you do except pray? And I called my pastor and friends and what's not and family. And the thought came, in everything, give thanks. How do you do that now? How do you do that? I say so now. I'm bringing in a reference in the Barbados situation or even the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Hurricane missed you, give thanks. Hurricane hit you, it says it did not say in every good thing, give thanks. So in everything includes bad, good, no matter whatever comes, give thanks. Give thanks. That's it.
Sir, let me just say, sorry.
Sure if your son is going to make it.
Yeah, well, let me just say how sorry I am, first of all, to hear about your son. Really, really sorry to hear about that. So, continue.
He's doing good, though.
He's doing good?
He's walking and everything now. The doctors are even shocked at what he did. But I listen to you, the program, every single day. All of the moderators, when I missed it in the day, in the night when I get home, I listen to all the podcasts back and forth. I'm thoroughly enjoyed. And the thing is, with all of the issues that come up, all you hear is opportunity. That's an opportunity. That's an opportunity. Hey, that's another opportunity. Because wherever you've got problems, it's an opportunity to fix something.
Yeah. Good way of looking at it. Yes. I love that. I love that. It's an opportunity to fix something.
Yeah.
I thank you so much for that. I'm going to use that one going. I'm going to use that one moving forward.
That's all the talk that I want to share.
Thank you so much, sir. Wish you continued healing with your son. Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Nasser again.
Yes, Brother Nasser.
Yes, we got cut off. I want to talk. I just hear a whole set of discussion about this hurricane and praying for this body and praying for the next body and praying for Barbara. Believe me. For the last half hour, I think that program, that was a waste of time. The truth is, and no man can refute what I'm going to say now.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that we are praying in Barbados, that it saved Barbados, there are people that are praying that it will not hit Barbados, nor them, because that's how you usually pray. I don't pray for me. I just pray for this country. I just pray for the economics of this country to improve. I just pray for these people in Barbados to be well and don't get sick. Them the kind of things they do, but this is what I'm saying. Nobody knows anything about God. Nobody. As a matter of fact, the entire earth, there's not one individual on this earth that knows anything about God. The strange thing, they know individuals that don't even know anything about themselves. They don't even know what they will do in certain circumstances. You know, you will say, or I will say, my sister thing happened, I will do A, B, C. And if it happens, you do something completely different. Am I wrong?
No.
Because no, the truth is that there's a creator of the universe. God put this earth here, and he put these islands that people living on, and wherever it is, wherever people live in. And these things that are happening cannot just start since people living down here in Barbados or in the Caribbean or in America. These things had to be happening before mankind was ever about here. Those winds and those hurricanes and all. Then something happens sudden. So if you come and place your properties and your homes and your livelihood in a particular area where hurricanes will pass, you have to accept that there's a possibility that one will pass sometime in your lifetime. Some places in America, unfortunately, like pass 10 times in their lifetime. But you can't get anything but you praying to God for this and you praying to God for that and God answering your prayer. How do you know if God answers your prayer? But you're the only body praying. I pray that the hurricane don't hit Barbados. You pray that the hurricane don't hit Barbados. Everybody must pray that the hurricane don't hit Barbados. Who God, which prayer God accept?
But do you accept the fact that if that is their reality, if that's what they think, then it's innocent? In other words, if they think that God did whatever, like stopped, didn't make sure the hurricane didn't hit or healed or did whatever, that's their personal belief.
I agree with that, but what I'm saying, they have to understand that your personal belief don't mean that's right.
No. Right. But remember, it's still your reality. So
no,
for
I
you,
agree, but
that
agree.
Exactly.
I agree with that, but your reality can be dangerous for you. The proof is that we as a people all over the world have to start accepting that we are one people and that we have to stop believing that I know more than you, you know more than me, and all kinds of things. The truth is that all of us combined collectively is what caused this earth to be going as it is. Because God don't need no help. Mm-hmm. God don't need anything. God put us down and give each of us different abilities to think and to reason to help each other. God didn't want a collection.
That is so true. We got to help each other. But right. NASA, let me say this then you safe to say then that there's no real, there's no reality, then there's just shared perceptions, because at the end of the day, we don't even know. We're going by what we believe, and we're hoping that other people share in that belief. But in the very end, no one really knows who's right or wrong. However, we are supposed to be guided by something called a conscience, not necessarily whether, you know, if you do something wrong or should I say, when you, it's just to be kind. So if it is you do something wrong and you're trying to correct it, it may not be God speaking to you. Some people may say God told me or God spoke to me. It's the conscience that guides you. But in the end, it's shared perceptions. In my opinion, the reality, whether or not we are right or wrong, in the end, all of us will find out. Simple as that.
The truth is, as I go off I leave here, the truth is that mankind must understand that every human being on this earth that's suffering, another human being is responsible for the suffering of that human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm serious about this. Not God. God gives us everything we want. There's nothing we can't. As a matter of fact, he gives us things that we still trying to understand. So if I am hungry, and I see you and I tell you I'm hungry, and you say, oh, you want to buy drugs. I die from starvation because you believe that I want drugs. That has nothing to do with God. It's nothing to do with ignorance. Give the individual the money. If they want to go and buy drugs, they're going to buy it. But they can't say that they were deprived of something to eat because you assume that they wanted drugs. And if you look at the whole earth, as I close over here, you look at businesses. Every time I see the fellas from the trucks with the ice cream, when these doors open and see that frost coming out in there, cool, and he putting on a jacket or some heavy thing to resist him when he's inside there. But when he comes out and takes it off, he exposed to the elements and the heat again. So he ended with bronchitis, rheumatism, arthritis, all kind of. The question that they must ask, is it not time that businesses be truly be shared by the workers and management? Because I know from experience, I was sick for 2 years running a massive business.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sick for 2 years and my business running did not miss me. But I know if those workers had gone home, that I would miss them and the business would miss them.
Yeah.
So next time I want to talk to you or so, I would like to really discuss workers' rights in the businesses that they help build and stop there believing that, as I build it, no man on earth can build anything by himself. He builds it with support from the workers, and the workers are more important in most cases than the management too.
Well, can I say this in closing? Hmm? Well, in closing, the late Cecil DeCaries, who started Life of Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the top floor. We were speaking about insurance, and he said to me, anytime you're starting a business, Joy, make sure that you even hire people better than you. You are only as good as the people around you. And he said to me that he did not build Life of Barbados. The people he put in place is who built his company. May he continue to rest in peace. He was a very good man and a very sensible man. And that's why he shared. I'm saying that because it's exactly what you're saying. Once said to me.
All right. I want to have some more of your time.
Thanks,
I really appreciate talking to you.
I appreciate it too. Hope to hear you again soon. Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon, Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Am I on, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to join this debate about armies and so on. Despite Dennis's intervention, I think he only gave us how well-qualified the armies are. Look, when you look at armies, particularly armies of these third world countries all over the world, madam, they don't really defend the people, you know. And even if it appears as though they defend the people, when the politicians get so corrupt that even they themselves, although they would have protected the politicians all along, when they get so corrupt that they themselves overthrow the politicians, do you think that they hand over to civilian government? They don't. They hang on to the power themselves. So, you know, people who support big armies, particularly, as I said, in third world countries, live to regret. They don't defend. They don't come and support the civilians. You know, they support the politicians by shooting down the civilians. Look at what's happening in Hong Kong. Is the army supporting the civilians or defending them?
Sir, if I may, the question is the Barbados Defense Force. The Barbados Defense Force, not the defense forces in all these different countries who may have a different way of life, and we do things in a civilized way. I would like to say continue in a civilized way. We know that anything at any time can change. We see the world changing. But I am proud to say that Barbados and Barbadians continue to still be civilized in the way they do things. That they march, yes, but we're still peaceful people. And hopefully we can continue that way. So when we were speaking earlier, it really was about the Barbados Defense Force and what they do and their role in this country. And I was just saying that it's not only to defend, in that case, if you want to say part of it is the Prime Minister and the Cabinet, that may be true for a portion. But to the wider extent, that is only true because they happen to be Barbadians. So if they're protecting them, they also have to protect us. If something happens, God forbid, that Barbadians decide to create some sort of aggressive movement in a violent way, it is only obvious that...
In a violent way? Sometimes you don't.
Well, I'm just saying that in terms of the police obviously are there, the defense force is there, if the country, God forbid, is under some threat. But that certainly is not the only role of the Barbados Defense Force.
I really understand what you're saying about the role, the present role that defense force has. Mm-hmm. and what they do. But I'm saying, armies, when you have these large armies, they're not there in the interest of the civilians.
Okay, but you're speaking of other countries then.
Yeah, well, we're talking about praying and so on a few moments ago. Let us pray and continue to pray.
Well, we continue to be hopeful that we don't have to be faced.
Barbados where the populace feel that they're so aggrieved that they have to really rise up against it. We will see what happens then.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your comments. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. We are at 1:35, heading home. I'm hoping to still hear from someone in the Ministry of Finance. We're still making an appeal. Hopefully, if we don't hear them today, maybe tomorrow, when Mr. Ellis is in the chair, to speak on the pensions, because we are practically at the end of the month. And we have some WhatsAppers saying that they have not received their pensions and they really, really, really need to know what's going on. So we're really asking someone now, begging really, someone to please respond and let us know what is happening with the pensions so that we can answer some of these questions that are coming through our WhatsApp. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
I'm on?
Yes, sir.
Yes, blessed and divine greetings to one and all. From the blessed name of Kedemara Hamashiach, Emperor Selassie I, Nugus.
Okay. Did we lose that caller? So sorry about that. I hope you can get back in. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, it says.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, it says.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, it says.
Yes, I can hear you. Continue. Good afternoon.
Okay. Yes. I stay there just listening, and that's why I'm so late. I was between myself to call or not. Now, this non-Barbadian issue, Bajan and non-nationalism, etc., pops up all the time. Every time there's a simple little thing. Now it is God is a Bajan. What I'm saying is this here. Don't matter what Bajans do, even when they're looking after the interest where immigration is concerned, don't matter what it is, it's always Barbadians are anti. And I say, I call because I would like you to understand all my life, which is over 70 now, I was among our nationals. My mother, grandmother, a Vinci, my father, a Bajan. I raised up among Vinci's and solutions. At the moment now, there's 20 Guyanese around me. And it is annoying hearing people say that Bajans is this and Bajans is that and Bajans is the next. If a Bajan married a Vincentian and has spent 20 years, you know, it's a possibility that Bajan can end up talking like a Vinci. A Vincentian could be here for 50 years, they still speak Vinci. Nobody criticized that because that is their right. Wherever we go, we change. Go to America, we come back a Yankee. Go to England, we talk English. We just change. And to me, there's no country in the Caribbean that engage persons, and I'm only from the West Indies, like Bajans. We love non-nationals. For all my life, over 70 years, we love non-nationals. A couple months ago, on another station, a young lady was going through the same freedom of movement issue. And I called into her. She didn't tell me to call her name on this station, so I went. Mm-hmm. But she's a very young one who gets on another station. And I asked her to do something for me. I said, I'm not here to tell you what I think directly. I want you to go and take a check for yourself. And this is what I asked her to do. I tell her, stay up at the end of Charles O'Neill Bridge, Duncan O'Neill Bridge. Walking in the direction of the Bastan and walk up to the VOB station. I act like a tourist. Find conversations with those as you pass. Because plenty of them can be speaking, so you ain't got to find out that they're non-Barbadian. Go on a couple sites, construction sites, and listen and check. Check some of the main bars and check and tell me if you really believe that Bajans are anti-non-nationals. We are not. And I would like it to stop, because even when the former Prime Minister, Westminster Graves, felt that he had to do something about immigration, because it was getting out of hand. He don't like non-nationals, and the Democrats don't like non-nationals. You got to do things if you see something that need checking, check it, and start labeling us. If I believe that God is a Bajan, that is my right. And I have a lot of people in Barbados lately that, for some reason, don't believe in religion. But that don't mean that if I believe in it, I shouldn't believe that God is a Bajan. If I believe he's a Bajan, I believe he's a Bajan. And it shouldn't be an issue. Let me move on. Now, there's something that I think is worrying you, me, and a lot of people. Because I have a couple of friends that is suffering from it. The cutting their income that they was receiving before March. And I'm hearing everybody asking the ministry to say something. Something that I said David Ellis all the time and certain moderators. There's something wrong in Barbados when people cannot question our Prime Minister. And I mean from the time Mayor Amor Motley was leader of the opposition, I find the press find it very difficult in questioning her. Now, if Mr. Jordan says something, which he said is a mistake, and they will soon get their money, then a minister within the Ministry of Finance say you will get it back at a particular time. The only body we got to hear from now is the Prime Minister. Why the moderators and people in news are so scared to ask the Prime Minister what is wrong with that these people not getting their money back? The Prime Minister of Barbados is the Minister of Finance.
Okay, Mr. Strong works in the Ministry of Finance too. The Prime Minister, Ms. Marsha Cattle.
Would you allow me to finish, please?
No, I'm just saying to you, we asked for the Ministry of Finance. So whoever is in there, whether it be the Prime Minister, Minister Strong, Minister Cattle, Ambassador Maskell, we've asked. So I just wanted to clarify that, okay?
Okay, may I say something?
Yes.
Did you ask a couple of days ago why you didn't hear those responsible for disasters to be hearing them more than the Prime Minister? Did you ask that?
What?
Right, we just had a disaster.
No.
Let me get to the point. Don't cross me again.
Listen, you hold on a minute. Hello. You see this disrespect? I am not.
What is disrespect?
I am not taking it at this cutting off and do not cut me off again and stuff like that. Make your point. Make it respectfully or we will part ways. Okay? Next caller. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Down to Brass Tacks. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, John. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Hi, this is Andre World, one of the vice presidents of the Democratic Labor Party.
Yes, Andre, how are you?
I am good, thanks. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you.
I must say, I do commend you on the work that you're doing in terms of being a moderator. I find your shows to be quite interesting and the fact that you have a caring spirit. There are a few things I wanted to speak to today, but I know that we don't have much time, so I may only get to deal with two of them.
Okay.
One was in terms of the Dorian, and regardless, we all must be thankful that we were spared.
Mm-hmm.
We have no control over the situation, but one of the things that I was a concern for me while we were preparing for it, many areas did not have water, and I live in one of those communities which did not have water. And during the time when people should have been preparing and storing for water leading up to the passage of the hurricane, I found myself using up my water stores. So that was really a concern for me at that time, because I do know that if it had been worse, how difficult it would be for a lot of persons who would not have had water to take them out for the 3 days or whatever. But I must commend in terms of the government in terms and the Prime Minister in terms of the coverage which was given. It is not at all new. It is something that you always have in terms of whenever a hurricane or disaster passes the country. So, but I guess the Prime Minister took lead because naturally she has an affinity for the media.
Okay, well, can I ask you this? You said that this is the norm. And truthfully, when we have storms, we do hear from the various agencies. Mm-hmm. But are you saying is that what she did is something that was always done?
It has always been done because even from the days of when it was the disaster emergency organization, CERO, SEDEMA, these are best practices which are...
No, I'm speaking of a prime minister, though. You already... Even, I mean, let's be fair here. Let us be fair. You called... And yeah, and I know you, and I know you are a good person, and you do have a caring spirit. But let us just be fair. What we would have seen this weekend, whether it's smoke screen mirrors, whatever anybody wants to call it, the end result is that she was able to mobilize. Meaning the prime minister of our country, was able to mobilize and get things done for the preparations. Everything didn't go smooth and perfect. We know the water people had some challenges and so on and so forth, but people started to pull together. Over the years, and I'm not saying 10 years or whatever, I'm talking about even far back. Let's even go back to 2002, 3, 4, if you want to. So let's even leave your party out of it. What I'm saying is the level of leadership in terms of what I saw this weekend is not something that I could sit here and see and say that I see regular over the years.
Okay, but Jayanne, regardless, these are protocols which are established by the Disaster Emergency Management, SEDEMA, and every year you may not necessarily see the Prime Minister because it really falls under the portfolio of the Minister of Home Affairs or the Attorney General. You would have seen Adriel Baffert before commanding those meetings and speaking from SEDEMA office in terms of letting the country know about the level of preparedness and all of those things. So that is nothing new. Yes, you would have had the Prime Minister being actively involved in it and having a whole campaign on it. So I'm not giving her brownie points for that because that is all part of her job. But yes, I commend her in terms of the... You got more visibility from it.
I'm gonna jump in here. And again, when Prime Minister Motley, or any Prime Minister, if I was the Prime Minister and I said, okay, Barbadians, this is what we have to do, and this is what we will do, and you know, the whole we thing, not you have to do this, we have to do it. And then when everybody's out there, I'm not seeing the Prime Minister is like, what happened to we? Where is she? I'm not saying she has to be involved in everything, and I certainly don't mean she has to micromanage, which I don't think it was a case of micromanaging. I think it was a case of saying, look, it's a new government. I'm here with you. I'm here with the people. And she showed that. And I don't really see anything wrong with that. The end result was a positive result in terms of the preparation and the way that Bajans felt about what they saw. She can't stop the hurricane. PM can't do that. None of them can. The previous government couldn't.
I'm not calling to make me feel easy.
It's the same thing when I was at the BWA. I couldn't bring back water or whoever's there now. They can't bring back water. But to bring a sense of, okay, here's what we're going to do and here's what is going to happen to ease the minds of people, to lower their blood pressure, to communicate with them. I think that is what the public was trying to say, and that is why the Prime Minister then got brownie points for that. But again, I respect your opinion, Andre, but I just figured that I would put mine to in terms of what I saw, and then hundreds of Barbadians who saying the same thing on social media, they felt the same thing too. They felt it was a style of leadership regarding this particular storm that they didn't even see from before.
And I do not take anything from that because, like I said, I commended her in terms of her level of visibility before.
Okay.
Yes, she could not have done much to change, but I don't think that in the situation it would have been any different. Mm-hmm. What I would want to say, though, in terms of communication, and you're speaking about addressing concerns of citizens and putting their minds at ease. No, the storm was brownie points for the Prime Minister. A real challenge here is the situation which you spoke to not too long ago with regard to those persons who are on disability.
That is a big challenge. Let's talk about that.
I'm saying, but up to now, we have not heard the voice of the Prime Minister. And now this is where her voice should be heard, because it was two ministers spoke to it and tried to address the situation and said, one said it was a mistake and that the money would be returned by June or July. This is going into September. And I really felt hurt hearing the person call in on Monday, and I think someone called us last week, Friday, speaking about it. And up to this day, this is the 28th of September, and up to this day, we have not heard the Prime Minister address this issue. It does not need to be addressed by anyone in the Accountant General, because for the Accountant General to stop the payments of the checks, he would have to get a directive from the Minister of Finance. He would have to take that to the Minister of Finance, which is the Prime Minister, to get a directive on that. So why can't the Prime Minister use her natural affinity for the media to come and address this issue and put it to rest, because those persons deserve to have back their money? I do believe that they're interpreting the legislation incorrectly, because a disability benefit is not a pension. And I heard someone making talk about stopping the payment of two pensions. Even when you read the legislation, it says that the Governor General can't, for a person who goes home medically unfit from the civil service, that the Governor General can authorize the payment of the benefits, which is what they were getting from the Treasury, up until pensionable age. So when they reach the pensionable age, then they will go on to receiving the normal pension, which obviously that would be a pension, so therefore they wouldn't get two payments, one from the NIS and one from the Treasury. That would have been stopped. Mm-hmm. So if you want to give the Prime Minister credit and for us to mark her highly on her ability in terms of speaking and addressing the needs of people, I would honestly like to hear Prime Minister Motley come to the public as soon as possible and speak to all of those persons who are suffering on $46 a month.
Well, I will say this. I'm not even so concerned about who's speaking to it. The concern is that the good people, those pensioners, persons on disability, need their money like yesterday.
And the best person that can address it right now would be the Prime Minister.
Truthfully, honestly, Andre, with all due respect, I don't even think the people need talk right now. I think they need the checks.
They just need the action, and that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. And the Prime Minister can authorize the payments of reintroduction of those payments with a stroke of a pen. So why is it being done?
As I said, you sit in the chair where you're on another party. I sit in this chair where I will be fair and balanced, because I understand that you obviously will have to do your role and you talk about let the Prime Minister come out. But for me here sitting in this chair, I understand what you're saying. However, whether it's Minister Strawn, the Prime Minister, Minister Cadell, Ambassador Maskell, I am obviously all of us moderators, all of us, whether Glenn Murray, who used to be a moderator, is asking. Dennis, I'm sure, sat down and asked. Sanka asked. We're all making a public appeal for the good people who need their disability back. So this, for me and for us sitting in this chair, regardless if it's Ms. Motley to come and speak, I think they do need their money back. It was promised. It was promised. I'm not going to disagree. It was promised, and I think that it should be on the front burner right now, because they are the most vulnerable people in this country, and we do need some answers. And I'm hoping, I'm not going to get any today, it seems, because we're running out of time. I'm hoping that maybe someone will reach out to Brass Tacks. But more importantly, I'm hoping that the postman is actually making his way to the houses, to the homes of the persons who need this money desperately. Thank you so much.
Exactly, Jan. Thank
Andre,
you very much.
Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. A couple minutes to spare. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling here. I haven't heard Mohamed Nasser speaking about the role of a president between Condé Reilly and Joel Garner. Mr. Nasser is saying that Reilly will make a better president because he knows management. I would want Mr. Nasser to understand the president manages the board, and the board formulates policy, and they have management in place that carry out their policy. So we have a CEO, we have a financial controller. So to say that Mr. Reilly will make a better president than Mr. Garner was a wee bit unfair. Mm-hmm. They're two goody gentlemen. They understand what cricket is all about. And I will not take anything from the two of them. Mm-hmm. But let it go.
But I think he did say that there are two very good gentlemen.
He's given the impression that because Mr. Regley was involved in management, that he understands cricket better. And I do
no,
not
he said
agree
he understands
that.
Management better.
He understands management better. But I don't agree with that for the simple reason mm-hmm. that in order to play cricket, you have to be able to manage it. If you want to go into the realm of management, Mr. Garner managed many West Indian teams, so you understand your role of management. And I believe this is where cricket in the Barbados and the Caribbean has fallen through. Because we have our legends throughout the Caribbean that we refuse to call on to help develop the minds of the youngsters. So when we try to ostracate one against the other, we will always have these problems. What I would come and suggest, I prefer Mr. Garner. He prefer Mr. Riley. I would like the persons to go and vote for Garner for the continuity of good governance in the BCA. But I would not pull down Mr. Riley to build up Mr. Garner. And I can see through this is what he was trying to do, which was a wee bit unfair.
Okay, well, you are entitled to your opinion. I didn't take it that way. I took it a different way, but I do understand where you're coming from. But I kind of understood where he was coming from. We were talking about managers versus knowing the sport and managing it. It's kind of two different things.
I manage a company for 29 years, and I consider myself to be a good manager. But as you said in one of your preambles about the guy from Confederation Life, mm-hmm. a good manager is as good as a team that he surrounds himself with. So you can have a bad manager and great workers, or vice versa, a good manager and bad workers. The results would be the same. So to say that because Mr. Riley was in management, he understands management, he will make the cricket better, I fundamentally disagree. And I would ask all the members even to go out and vote overwhelmingly for Joel Big Bird Garner. And I rest my case.
Okay.
Do have a nice afternoon.
Thank you so much.
I usually enjoy your program. I don't always agree with everything you say or
that's
do. But
all right.
Again,
that's
we
all
are
right.
only human. But I think that you, along with the other moderators, do a great job.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That's okay. The music playing.
Right. I think that Mr. Johnson, I say good afternoon. He's my favorite moderator.
Oh, okay. I'll let him know that. He can hear you. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you to the callers. Thank you to the persons who are listening. I'll be in the chair again sometime next week. Until then, God bless.